You're listening to the best of the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, David Wheaton, who is, most of you may know him as a professional tennis player. Some of you may know him as a syndicated talk show host. I know him as the author of the new book, My Boy Ben. Welcome to the show, David.
Well, Lee and Rick, thank you so much for having me on the program today.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on. After I heard about My Boy Ben, I admit I'm a fan of Laura Ingraham, who is also on this radio station. And when I first heard you and she talking about this book, I was very, very interested in it because I admit I was wondering, what the heck does a tennis player know about life with a dog and the human-animal bond? So how did this whole thing come about?
Well, you know, I'm in my mid-40s now, and I grew up with dogs in our family here in Minnesota. We had, a lab Samoyed mix named Muffy when I was very young, but then the dogs I grew up with were named Tonka and Tinka. They were two Siberian Huskies, and that's perfect for the climate up here in Minnesota. And I remember my most memorable Christmas present was when I was about 12 years old, and my parents said, well, we have one more present for you. And of course, every child wants to hear that.
Right.
And I looked out in the front lawn, they directed my gaze out there, and there in the front lawn was a homemade, custom-made two-person or one-man dog sled that went with two dogs. And out sitting on the front lawn. And it was just something that I just couldn't believe. It was like, you know, going to the Iditarod or something. And I was about 12 years old, and those Huskies used to pull me all over the frozen lake up here in Minnesota. And so I'd grown up with dogs, but then I turned professional in tennis when I was 19. And I was on a different track in life. I was gone all the time. I was traveling all over the world. It was a very high-pressure, high-stress career. And about halfway through that career, my late 20s, I had a fitness coach who was actually the fitness coach for the Minnesota Timberwolves NBA team up here in Minnesota. And he invited me to go pheasant hunting one day. And that's a very popular thing to do up here in the upper Midwest in this region of the country. But I had never gone hunting in my life, never gone pheasant hunting, and just didn't have any really interest in going. But he persuaded me to come along. And when I went that first day, I was just mesmerized watching the camaraderie, the companionship, the bond between the guys that were there and their dogs. I remember thinking, wow, those dogs actually know what they're doing. They're looking around like they know what they're doing out there. I couldn't believe it. And so that interested me because of my background having dogs. About reacquainting me with the idea of maybe getting another dog, but I couldn't do that because I was on the tennis tour. But that's where the book My Boy Ben starts out, is me trying to get a dog but not being able to get one, and finally some circumstances change where we're finally able to get Ben.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the change of circumstance. How does Ben come along?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, my life was pretty unusual. I was on the tour from the time I was 19 to age 32. And so when I was about 27, 28 years old, that's when I started to have a desire to get a dog. And I think I wanted something normal in my life. Something to come home to that would be, just some steadiness, a sweetness. I was single at the time, too. I think I was a little lonely, for sure. And also, I wanted a hunting dog, too. And that's why I thought I was getting Ben in the first place. But as I mentioned, I was over in Tokyo, and I was playing a tennis tournament there, and I had really given up on the dream of getting a dog. But then all of a sudden I started to get these faxes. Back then they didn't really use much email, it was more faxes from home. My mother used to write me a fax pretty frequently when I was on the road to tell me what was going on back home. And they were dead set against getting another dog. But all of a sudden I begin to notice the tone in what my mother was saying in these faxes begin to change. One day she had met a nice yellow lab in her neighborhood. The next day she had talked to the breeder of where the man had got his lab. And then the next day, the miracle of all miracles was that she had actually sent in a down payment on a puppy that hadn't even been conceived yet from a four-hour, five-hour drive away. And I knew something providential was going on here, changing the direction. And so I came home from Tokyo on that trip, and about 4 or 5 months later, the dog was eventually conceived, the puppies, and came in the middle of that summer. And that's how we got Ben.
And what was it that was going on in your mother's mind that was changing her? What was it that was making her say, I want this dog? Was it just the neighbor's dog and thinking, wow, what a beautiful, sweet dog. I'd like one like that. Or was there more to it?
Well, see, my mother and my father are dog lovers as well. I call them egalitarians, you know, those folks that treat dogs as co-equal members of the family. But they had reached a point, I think, they were getting older, and I think they reached a point where they had had enough of dogs to know that they had had enough of dogs, enough dogs in their life. So they just didn't want the responsibility of caring for a dog anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think inside of them, the fact that they were dog lovers never went away, of course. And so when my mom met this dog named Yogi, and he was a beautiful yellow lab, matter of fact, a white lab. They're more lighter in color now, it seems like yellow labs are. Right. And she loved this dog's disposition. And so that immediately caught her eye. And she, I think she thought in her mind, well, you know, I could see myself getting a dog like that. Mm-hmm. And so once she talked to the breeder, and she could tell that this breeder who lived one state to the south of us in Iowa was such an expert on it. And she bred dogs that were not just, you know, not just dogs that were hunting dogs, but dogs that were really the right conformation, the right health, that sort of thing. I think that really intrigued my mom and changed her mind.
Interesting. And what was it that you were, how were you reacting when all of a sudden you get this dog? I mean, how did that change you when you come back? I mean, I imagine on the tour, you're very competitive, very intense, and then all of a sudden you come home and here's this beautiful little pup with a boatload of energy bouncing off walls. What was that like?
Well, let me put it this way. I didn't do very well in the tournament in Tokyo because I think I was distracted after all the excitement of being told that we have a puppy on the way. Now, when I came home from Tokyo, remember, the puppy hadn't been conceived yet.
Right.
So there was about a 4 or 5 month delay before we actually were able to get Ben. But I came home from Tokyo, and immediately we drove, my parents and I drove from Minneapolis down to this small town in Iowa. It's about a four-hour drive. And we saw the parents of our future puppy for the first time. And, of course, at this point, I was going from thinking that I would never be able to get a dog until I was off the tennis tour to going from Tokyo, the very dense urban structure of Tokyo to the prairies, the farmlands of Iowa in the course of about 2 days, and now all of a sudden we're going to be getting a puppy. So I was, of course, just thrilled out of my mind, and you know, Ben didn't disappoint when we got him a few months later. It was just the beginning of a beautiful journey and an incredible bond together.
Now I'm wondering, you've got your parents involved in this more or less adoption of this new puppy, and then your emotions are around it as well. Was there already a kind of preconceived notion of, like, whose dog this is going to be? Was that ever a concern?
Yeah, I it's always sort of a running conversation. Whose dog was Ben, really? Was he mine or was he my parents? But we really think of him as a shared family dog because he was. I was gone for the first several years I had him. I was still playing on the tour, so I was gone probably, you know, 8 to 9 months a year. So my parents really invested so much in him. But Ben was really my dog, though, from a standpoint of, you know, how they connect so much with their master, the one who you know, trains them.
Sure.
I was when I took him hunting and so forth. So he probably was a lot more obedient and more connected with me just because I took him out to do a lot of fun stuff. But he was really a shared dog between us. And that's why when I talk about in the book that my parents, when we lost Ben, when he was just not even 9 years old in the prime of his life, my parents were, I think, as crushed as I was. This was not David's dog, although he was. He was our family dog, and
sure,
he was the dog of our lifetime.
We're talking this morning with David Wheaton, who is a tennis player and who is the author of the book, My Boy Ben. Now, David, you say that Ben was your dog, but you didn't win the contest when it came to the naming rights, did you?
No. Mothers always know best on that sort of thing. And, you know, I think there was part of this deal in getting a dog, so to speak, was, okay, we're going to get a dog. But there were a few privileges or things that the perks that my parents are going to hold close to their vest. And one of them was naming him. It wasn't that cut and dried, but my mom really liked a human name for dogs. I was thinking of something much more rugged, like Kodiak or Yukon, you know, something like Indiana Jones would approve of. But, you know, my mom wanted something much softer than that. She loved the name Ben. And when I heard it for the first time, I thought, well, actually, that's kind of a neat name. And it's true. It fit him so well because he was this very intelligent, regal, majestic, mature dog. I mean, he just was born with his head screwed on tight. But he had a softness about him, that just about his disposition, that he was just so gentle. He was really a gentle Ben. And so my mom picked just the right name.
It sounds like she did. Now, talk about your relationship with Ben. You'd go hunting with him. What other kinds of things did you get to do with him? Because, again, you were away for such a long period. I imagine when you get to see him, it's quite the bonding experience. I know my dog pretty much jumps all over me, and I've only been gone for about 8 hours.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we got Ben, at least from my perspective, to be a hunting companion for me, to sniff out pheasants during the fall hunting season. But within about a week of having him, I quickly learned that this was not going to be a utilitarian, you find pheasants for me relationship. Right away, I began to understand just how different this breed and this kind of dog was and how close he was going to be to our family. We had constructed this outdoor run in the side yard at my parents' house so they could sleep outside and stay there when I was gone. He never spent a night in that run. he was inside all the time and just wanted to be in the bedroom, up on your lap and so forth. And we quickly realized we have a very different kind of dog on our hands. So the hunting aspect of having Ben was, that was great to do for the couple weekends we go out in the fall. But it was the rest of the year where you talk about that bond. You know, when I was home and I'd be training in tennis every single day, he'd get in the front seat of my Jeep and we'd ride down to the tennis practice. He'd sleep beside the court for a couple hours. He'd join me on the football field to do sprints afterwards. I may stop at my parents on the way home to take a swim at the end of the day. They live on a lake, and so Ben would be there in the water swimming with us around the bay, and he would be at my desk, you know, when I would be working and sleeping by my bed at night and on the couch next to me with his head in my leg as we're watching TV. I mean, he was everywhere with me, and I think that just speaks to the bond, the kind of companionship that we can have with a dog. And that also speaks to the fact that why it's so hard to lose one, because that relationship grows such deep roots over the years, and that's what makes it so hard when we lose a beloved companion like that.
Well, he threw off your game in Tokyo, but you had plenty of years to enjoy him while you're still actively playing tennis. How did he do for your game after that?
I think great, because dogs bring something to our lives that enhances our life, it enriches our lives. And I think, I mean, there's all kinds of things out there you read about how some of the soldiers come back from the Middle East, or they've been in war, and they come back, they have post-traumatic stress, and they have anxiety and depression and so forth, and they unite them with a dog, and how much that changes their life. Now, that's an extreme example. I was never going through something that difficult, but just coming home and having, like I said, a sense of normalcy, a stress reliever, that bond, that companionship when I come home, that relationship, there's no question that it added an element to my life that brought so much joy. Everything that I did with Ben was enhanced. Even just, you know, sitting on the couch, watching TV or reading a book, having Ben there right next to me, just, you know, who doesn't like a dog sleeping at their feet or on their lap when they're reading a book? I mean, it's such a nice, beautiful thing in life. And so he added something that I think really did make me happier as a person and probably aided in some effect to my enjoyment of my career as a tennis player as well.
Well, it sounds like he did, although usually I'd imagine a lot of pro tennis players might have a young lady sitting right next to him that Ben may have gotten in the way. But we'll talk about that after the break. We're talking this morning with David Wheaton, who is the author of the book My Boy Ben. And after the break, David, I'd like to talk about about some of your observations about the human-animal bond. It's a topic that Rick and I have been talking quite a bit about lately, and we'd love to get your take right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link. Hey, got some ideas for a show? Questions? Maybe suggestions? Just email us, mmpets at 1320WILS.com, or message us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mmpets.